Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of 55 Feedback with Tom King, Pat Snyder, tea parties all over the nation, interesting coverage. We'll get your take on that and see what you've heard or read, and if it was accurate, if you attended one. A gentleman who was with me in both Madison and here is in the studio with us, and I'm sure we'll hear from others down the road as well. Dan Mielke, who ran against Dave Obey last time and has announced he will run again against Dave Obey, is here. Good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
How are you doing?
I'm exhausted. It was exciting. It drained us, though.
It was exciting, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Were you surprised at the number of people here in Wausau?
Excitedly so. I figured 500, 600, but to see 1,600 to 2,000 people show up, that was impressive. That was exciting. And it was also a good test and a good statement to the fact that people are upset.
Mm-hmm.
They're not happy with what's going on in Washington.
And your total was more 5,000 to 7,000 in Madison.
I had guessed about 5,000 to 7,000. I know they're saying 9,000, but it definitely was a whole lot more than a few hundred that NBC said.
Yeah, or CNN.
Yeah.
A couple of hundred on the stage. We had a couple of hundred on the stage, I think.
Yeah.
So,
oh, yeah. It was packed.
Yeah, it was. All right. Well, interesting to get takes. 845-2155. Let's go to the phones. Is this Bill?
It is. It is, and I attended the rally yesterday in Wausau, and I've got the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel in front of me, and the main picture there shows the Tea Party down there in Madison and Milwaukee. But right there, you know, in bold picture, is a big sign that says, Audit the Fed. Another one says, End the Fed. So that was the issue that I was harping on yesterday, because all of this tax and all of this concern will be of no avail if we don't start jailing the bankers. Now, I would like to know Dan's position on the Federal Reserve, and then I have one other comment.
Well, when it comes to, I don't have many positive things to say about Washington in general, so, you know, in that sense. We have a problem in Washington all the way across the board. There are so many things that are happening in Washington that are totally unconstitutional, that are against our Constitution, that shouldn't be there. And a lot of that is to do with what you're just talking about right now. We have a tax system that is just totally out of whack. That's one of the problems that I have with the whole entire system of the Federal Reserve and the tax and the money system and everything is it's not being used for the purpose for which it was designed. There was a purpose for taxes at one time to take care of the basic physical needs of the nation, you know, infrastructure, roads, highways, you know, police protection, military. Now we're using the tax system, we're using the federal government as a means to corral people, to direct people's lives, to tell them what they should or shouldn't do based on taxes and punitive taxes. And this is the type of stuff that needs to stop. We need to You know, when you look at other businesses and stuff that are having problems with their finances, we talk about downsizing, reorganizing, filing bankruptcy. Well, you know, something like that needs to happen in Washington, too. They just can't keep growing and growing and growing with no responsibility. And I think one of the areas that needs to be dealt with is the Federal Reserve, is the IRS. All those areas need to be looked at, and we need to change the way things are done in Washington.
Okay. You know, that really doesn't get to the core of it, but I would like to offer to the listeners and to Dan and to, I offered it to Tom yesterday, and Pat, you might as well get one. There's a tremendous DVD out now that's viral, okay? It's called The Obama Deception. And what it goes into is the control that the central bankers have over the political apparatuses in our country. And essentially, the point that I've been making consistently is that we don't have a two-party system, we have a one-party system, and it's controlled by these power elites. So I am offering for the first 10 callers today that want to call me at 539-3637. That's 539-3637, a free DVD of the Obama Deception, which takes the mask off this so-called agent of change, Barack Hussein Obama. And what we see here is a continuation of the same kind of policy. So, Tom,
are you going to throw in some Ginsu knives with it as well?
Some what? Well,
listen, some Ginsu knives?
Tom's
why would I want to do that? All I want to do is get the truth out in the open, Tom. You know that. And when it came to Bush, I was all over him. And so when I see these policies not changing, then I'm going to be all over the individual that's in the White House now.
All right.
So that's 539-3637. I've got a lot to do today. I won't be answering the phone. Just leave your name, phone number, or your name and address, and we will ship it to you absolutely free.
All right. Thank you. See you later, Bill. 845-2155. Bob, good morning.
Oh, yes, the great pontificator checking in.
How you feeling today?
Oh, outstanding. Let's party like it's 1773. The only thing missing was the harbor to make the tea with.
That's right. Well, we didn't also have the 30% of the nation that actually liked the British rule. Yeah. They didn't show up in Madison. I was expecting, you know, the folks, the... I did see three guys walking around that you saw, Bob, support the rich.
Yep.
That's one thing. If we would ever change our tax code and make it a consumption tax, we wouldn't have this class envy anymore, I don't think, because everyone would have a piece of the game.
Exactly.
I got hit up by a few protesters down there that arguing. Yeah, about three or four came up, and we had some discussions on that. And there were more here, though, in Wausau. There were more people that were actually...
I didn't see them either.
Oh, they were there. There was a small group in the center, and then there was a bunch of young people throughout the area that were kind of rousing it around.
Oh, really? What was there? They wanted taxes?
Most of it, a lot of it was the opposed to the war. There's a lot of that was there. There were quite a few people that just, you know, just derogatory, didn't want to take any literature, didn't want to talk to anybody, just wanted to undermine everything.
Mm, okay. Tom, were you there? I didn't see you.
No, I wasn't rousing the rabble there, no, yesterday, no.
Saw public radio, but someone must have teased them and said Obi was going to be there.
Oh, the thing is, it was outstanding. I looked at the crowd. I would say it was 8,000 plus. I don't know, 9 or 10, but it was definitely far more than anything the news media is talking about. The only thing, Pat, that you embarrassed me on...
What?
...is we snuck into town in a Prius.
I know. I told you. That's the way we were going in. And it had a University of Wisconsin Law School sticker on it as well. So, we were safe.
On the way down there, I got a phone call, and they said, I thought I saw Pat, but it couldn't be. He was in a Prius.
That was Matt, yeah. Yeah. Hey, I got my old Ford Contour I'm driving today, and I'll get on that Harley here later. So, all right.
And you made my day. Yes, or I shouldn't say you made it. I will say the people made it.
Yeah.
In Wausau. When you ask if they wanted to hear from me, and the roar I got back from the crowd.
Look at Tom in there. I told you, Bob, he'd be all goofy.
Oh Lord, you know, yeah.
The masses can be deluded, can't they?
And the thing is, we not only held court down in Madison, my hand got sore up in Wausau holding court, shaking and thanking the people that listened to me.
And there's a young girl from Tigerton that has a hat.
Oh, yes.
With your signature on it.
Yep.
Sounds like that you're ready to run for public office there, Bob.
Well, if I can figure a way to, I would.
Mose and he'll have a mayoral election coming up soon, or... Maybe you can move to Cronenwetter and straighten out what's happening in the village down there.
Oh, they wouldn't.
Go for Senate. Go for Senate. Don't go for Congress. Go for Senate.
Go for the Senate.
All right.
That would be neat.
Bob, you keep in there, man. I'll talk to you. Thanks. 845-2155.
You had to encourage him there, didn't you?
Dennis, good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to pass on some information. I was watching on Fox News last night.
Right.
On Greta Van Susteren's show. She had a kind of a call-in poll where people would go to her website and vote. Her question was, do you think this is just a one-time event, or do you think it's going to go on? 99% of the people calling in said this is going to keep on going.
Yep.
I've never seen a poll like that, you know, that this is just the beginning.
Well, we have to do that, I think, because if we don't, then we can't get the people that will run to run for these offices, or we to get the people that oppose these things but don't come forward because they'll be chastised or not put on committees to know they have support.
Yeah.
I think we need to take a lesson from the 60s when they came to the Vietnam War effort, where the opposite side were out there protesting. Maybe we need to start doing some picketing, some rallies throughout the year, not just take one day like a tea party. I'm getting emails already today asking the same thing. What's next?
We had a caller feedback yesterday who said that the right or the conservative movement today needs to take some lessons from the left of the 60s as far as...
No, not know, the that, 60s. They need to take a lesson from Obama and his organizational skills.
But the anti-war protests of the 60s, the civil rights movement of the 60s, getting the people to do a sustained protest movement and not just a hit-and-miss kind of thing.
Wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove.
The 60s protest of the war cost more American lives.
The 60s protest of the war got Lyndon Johnson out of office. You can change things.
You can change things, but it costs a lot more because the North Vietnamese were ready to go to the peace table.
If people can do what they did in the 60s when they were on the wrong side, think what we can do on the right side.
That's right.
I'm a product of the 60s. I'm a Vietnam War veteran, and I came back through all that garbage at that time, and I commented to my wife last night. I was sitting there watching all these happy people at these things all over the nation. You know, I said, this is not what protesters look like.
No.
You know, and this is a whole new ball game. These are across the board average Americans out there just finally putting their foot down. And because I remember what those 60s was like in the protesters. It was all full of hate. There was no hate that you saw in there.
And then no violence either that a lot of those 60s protests would lead to. Yep. Dennis, thank you.
You bet.
And then even after last night here, we had the Northwood Barbecue Boys playing the music. That was good. They play at the Cruise Inn out there in the north side of Wausau. They're there, one of their regular bands, and they were good. And thank them for coming out as well as the folks at Cruise Inn. Fifty-five Feedback continues with Tom King. I'm Pat Snyder. Dan Melke in with us, candidate for the congressional district, going against Dave Obey again in 2010. Let's head back. We're talking tea parties and comments. If you've seen coverage and how it's been covered, then give us a call. CNN saying 100 people on the steps of Madison when there was exceeding 5,000. You can argue numbers all you want, but there are a lot more than 100. Craig, good morning. Thanks for calling.
Good morning, guys. I just want to say the show yesterday was just great with Tom. It was nice and quiet.
Are you doing drugs again?
No, I told you I've been clean for years now.
Good.
Come on, now. I help these kids, remember?
Oh, that's right, that's right. I apologize.
You know, I'm the great Craig forgetting hater.
Okay.
You know?
So the show was great. So you wish that would be on more, just Tom by himself, right?
No. No, I wish it would be more just calmer, you know, less picking
calmer?
On. Yeah, less.
What?
Less people getting the newspaper out and less Bob the Great, whatever he is, watching the news and being back in the 1700s.
What's wrong with remembering history a bit? You know, you got to have passion, Craig.
You know, I got a lot of passion.
I know it.
You know, but, you know, I try to get you guys sometimes, and I try to get your side, and I just can't get it. And I really want to know what my question out to you guys is you guys bash Bush, right?
Oh, yeah. Bush created this monster that Obama's picking up and running with.
Yeah.
Okay. You bash Bush. You bash Obama.
Right.
What's the ultimate president for you guys? What's going to be the best thing for you?
Thomas Jefferson.
Thomas Jefferson, come on.
That type of person.
Seriously.
No, listen.
Seriously, who is he? Who is the guy out there that you guys want?
Well, let's put a combination of some. How about
I got to hang up.
Craig. All right, well, listen. How about a Ronald Reagan, John F. Kennedy? The people that actually are wanting American citizens to take a little bit more control of their lives and do it that way.
I think what we need is more people from the average population than these what I call prepped and programmed presidential candidates. And that's one of the problems we have in Washington with the two-party system, is it's very difficult for good quality candidates to get on the ballot because of the fact that there's always somebody being prepped, you know, some lawyer, some somebody that can be used to promote a certain agenda is being put on right. the ballot, and we have a hard time getting the good guns out there.
And if you think you're going to call in and make comments in a kumbaya atmosphere, it's not happening. You're going to be challenged if you call in with something that I don't agree with, okay? But that's good. We want dialogue and debate and passion. If you think my voice is yelling at you right now, then really, you do need to get a hold of yourself and to get a little bit more self-confidence, because this isn't yelling.
You're not even red yet.
No. Let's go to Oliver. Oliver, thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you for not yelling at me, Pat.
Well, the call's early.
My question for Dan this morning is this. In view of the questioning about follow-up, what are some comprehensive, point-by-point plans that you see are needed, both policy-wise from your campaign's perspective and organizationally, to take this taxed enough already message forward and actually make some changes? Because Pat's point about John F. Kennedy is an excellent one, because the American people saw the first media-driven campaign with Kennedy, and the great contrast that some say put him over the top in the debate with Nixon, where he was tanned and well-prepared and Nixon was gaunt and whatever. How do you plan to take this message that you have, Dan, put it in some concrete terms, and then bring it to the public?
Well, I think you made the point right there at the last part where you said bring it to the public. We need to get the public involved. That's the only way we're going to make changes. I can only be a voice or a initiator in bringing those views out and try to generate that. But we need to do a lot of things in regards to the government. We need to bring basic common sense back. Too many times we're running off of some economic advice that's already proven itself to be a failure, and we're running on that because that's the status quo. We need to bring our common sense back to government. We need to use some sound economic advice. We need to use, you can't get out of a hole by digging deeper. We need to start learning to change the course where we're headed and start climbing instead of digging. We need to stop the borrowing process. We need to focus on cleaning up our abuse that's in government. We have so many. I got one little bill here I just pulled off, that 1388. That's 149 pages. It's almost impossible for anybody to digest and utilize that in an appropriate way. We need to clean up the way we do our billing systems. I'd like to see the situation where the congressmen spend more time in their home districts versus sitting in Washington listening to lobbyists all the time. There's way too much of an overemphasis on getting the lobbyists to the congressmen rather than getting the people to them. We need to stay away from directing business. We need to get out of the business direction industry. Business is what makes or breaks this country, and when government gets involved, it ends up causing problems. We need to get outside and get some professional help into Congress to give some advice to these congressmen who've come in. They come out of college, they're lawyers, but they have no basic common sense of what it's like to work for a living and to run a business. We need to get them some professional help.
Those are both called lobbyists.
Yeah, no, yeah.
They're called community organizers.
That's what they think they are, but they're not. We need to remove the burdens from the average American people, untie the chain from around our necks so we can do things. We need to trim the waste out of government. We need to cut the spending. We need to consolidate services. Right now, businesses are told they got to downsize, they got to reorganize, we got to make things do. We need to do that in government. We need to get that taken care of. We need to reorganize how we run our government and get things streamlined a little bit. We need to stop duplication of service. It just goes on and on and on. These things need to be done. They're common sense things that need to be done, but they have to be done when the people voice the desire to do them. And that's what Mr. Kennedy did. He got up and he got in connection with the people, and the people came to his aid, and that's how things got changed. It's not just the congressman. It's the congressman working for the people and the people working for the country.
Quick follow-up question that's somewhat a corollary. Given the talk of reviving the fairness doctrine in terms of media or finding new backdoor ways to accomplish the same thing, do you think that your voice, Pat, your views, Dan, are likely to be silenced by these changes in order to keep the status quo?
They will try, but they will not succeed. Yes, they're going to try to silence our voices. They're going to try to stop that. But the more they do that, the more they open the door for us to have a right to scream and to get the message out.
If this movement that we've started here generates and agitates Washington, D.C. phone lines, yes, you'll see it come back to the forefront again. They've got to stop talk radio. They have to stop the conservative side, because unlike the Constitution that says free speech. They talk a big game, but when it comes to speech against their views, they will stifle it.
You got two choices. You can take that bottle of pop and you can shake it up and watch it foam over, or you can try to stop it by putting your thumb over it. Guess what's going to happen? The pressure's going to be greater.
Yeah. All right, Oliver,
thanks.
All right, 845-2155. Jeff.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Well, gosh, I agree. I mean, we are definitely, the government is overspending and overtaxing. Mark Belling on down in Milwaukee was talking about this yesterday, and he says there are a lot of Republicans out there that are supporting this, and there are some that are acting like they support it. This is kind of a litmus test.
Mm-hmm.
I have a couple of questions for Dan. Dan, what do you think of farm subsidies? I mean, what's your take on those?
You know, it's difficult when you take something called farm subsidies because it's such a broad area. I have a real problem with government trying to subsidize anything. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't room for that in certain cases, but government's purpose and government's responsibility should be to encourage, you know, the strength of the nation. Subsidizing is not always going to accomplish that. So I guess I have a reservation in regards to subsidizing. I'm assuming there are some areas where times may come along where that may be necessary, where there may need to be help. I know during World War II there were times when everybody was working for the cause of World War II that there were efforts put forth to help people get started to do things for the war effort. There are times when it may be there and may be necessary, but in general it's abused and misused, and it's more or less just a payoff to get votes, and that's got to stop.
Okay, then I have a follow-up to that. Have you ever accepted any farm subsidies or anything like that in your lifetime?
Farm subsidies, no. The only thing I could think of that I took advantage of is I did file for a grant one time, for a research grant, to try to help small farmers find a way to make a living. We did research in regards to small-scale farming, home family farms, and I did get a grant for that, which paid for some of the legwork in regards to doing the research and filing that. I also did get a deer fence one time when the wonderful DNR started having their deer chew up all my crops, and I threatened to shoot them, and they offered to give me some better solutions, and we worked out an agreement, and we did get that. But in general, no, not that I never even used to, corn subsidies and the corn base and all of that, we always avoided. My land is still sitting under the patents. You know, I didn't sign up for any of that.
All right. Hey, thanks. Okay. Thank you for your call. All right, let's get a quick news break in. Jim and Mark, hold on. You guys are in the on-deck circle. 55 feedback, reaction to the tea parties. If you were there, what you thought. If you have been looking at the coverage, what do you think of the coverage? Will it last? And if you don't like them, what's your alternative? Or are you happy with the way things are? And welcome back, everybody, as we are talking about the, well, reaction of yesterday's tea parties from around the nation. Dan Mielke is in the studio with us, running again against Dave Obey in the upcoming elections in 2010. 845-2155 is the number to call. I put a lot of faces with names that are called in yesterday here in Wausau. It was good to do. I even met Bob that calls in, the Bob Mielke.
You know, they were talking about, the one caller earlier was talking about the fact that, you know, he liked it where all these people call in. He should have been at the tea party yesterday because I think all those callers were standing out there.
Yeah, there's a good number of them.
Oh, man.
I mean, folks coming over from Medford, Minocqua, you name it. Man,
Prentice,
they were all over. Prentice,
you bet.
Yeah. All right, let's head back. And Jim, thanks for holding. Welcome to Feedback.
Hey, thanks a lot, Pat. Listen, I'm not even in Dan's district, but I've listened to him speak on numerous occasions. I've talked to him personally at a number of county fairs, and also the to-do we had over here in Neillsville a month or so ago. And I will say that his message is always consistent. And you mentioned a little bit ago about passion. He seems to me to have a great deal of passion for the citizens of his district. And my only dilemma is I probably should just move over that way so I could vote for him, because David Obey hasn't done a whole lot for us lately. He's become part of the establishment in Washington. He doesn't seem seem too interested in talking to the local people without getting angry. But
there's cornerstones and buildings in Washington younger than him.
We'll take
We'll
take your checks from outside the district.
Well, we might just do that.
20 counties is a lot of counties to travel. That's one of the things that's really a hard one in this district is to get all over these 20 counties, the hotel rooms and the gas costs. That really takes a hit.
Well, and I do hope that people will support you and listen to your message. As far as the Tea Party coverage, we had planned on going down to Madison, but some business things came up and we couldn't do it. But I was totally shocked at the lack of coverage throughout the major networks. The only thing that I found, and I found it this morning on YouTube, was Judge Napolitano.
Yeah,
had a pretty good thing about it. But the national media didn't cover it hardly at all, and what they did cover didn't seem too genuine to me.
I sat and listened to some of the reporters from some of these medias ask questions, and then I listened to what happened when it came on the air, and that is just unbelievable. I know at this one, one of the reporters was asking about what do they think the numbers was, and the lady, it was Meg, said, you know, oh, well, between 1,600 and 2,000. And she said, you really think it's that much? And she says, well, just look. And they did the report when it got on the air. There were hundreds in Wausau.
Oh.
Right.
And Vicki McKenna said it best down in Madison when she challenged the TV news and newspapers to do your damn job, unquote.
Right.
You know, here's a point that I think we need to realize is we're talking about censorship of the media. It's about time the American people do their own censorship and tell the media that if you're not going to represent the truth, if you're not going to turn around and tell it like it is, then maybe I'll take my advertising dollars to those stations and to that media that does. I'll advertise on WSAU. I'll advertise on Fox News. But forget CBS. Forget NBC. Forget these newspapers that tend to distort the truth. And if we start cutting the advertising cost of them, because it's the people that work for a living that are concerned about this situation that are advertising in those papers. And all they do is they take our money and then they destroy the very businesses that they're getting their money from. And that needs to stop. And I think we need to start doing a boycott and advertising with those people that support the businesses and support the people.
So I got one question for you. And this is it's a tough question for a lot of people because it continues to grow. There are 62,000 pages in our U.S. tax code. I read something a couple of days ago that said that's equivalent to 4 complete sets of the Encyclopedia Britannica. What would you, you know, what's your plans about our tax code or your ideas?
All right. Thanks, Jim.
Personally, I like to see the whole entire tax code abolished as it is and reworked. I'm a, you know, some people don't like the fair tax, but to this date, it's the best one I've seen, a consumption tax. Get rid of the IRS. Get rid of all the old tax codes. Get rid of the hidden taxes. Get rid of these punitive taxes. Do a constitutional amendment and make it so it's based totally on a consumption-based tax.
Yes.
Where the only way that this government will make money is if America makes money and the people make money. This idea of punishing us for making wealth is wrong, and it needs to work a different way. And I think we need to just totally abolish that and start over on it.
Or, if they don't want to go that route, then let's push a place in where only property owners vote. Go back to the old days.
No, we don't want to do that.
Tom?
We don't want to go back to where only white male property
owners
vote.
No, I didn't say that. Did I say that?
But that's the way it was.
No, Tom, I said property owners, so quit trying to take your distortion to the next level.
All I'm saying is that's the way it was.
Tom,
back
why?
When the Constitution was written.
Why do I want property owners? Why?
Well, it is frustrating, Tom.
I want him to finish this, Dan. Why?
So renters shouldn't be able to vote? People who rent?
No, not unless we go back to a consumption. We can get out of it by a consumption tax.
I agree, a consumption
if
tax.
If you take
is the way
an income tax, only property owners. Why? Why is that, Tom?
You tell me why.
Because they have a stake in the game. They're the ones that are getting the 40% taxed. Okay?
Renters don't have a stake in the game just because they're not paying property
they should,
tax?
They should be motivated to own then, shouldn't they? But the only reason I say that is to get off the whole income tax, to go and abolish it, okay?
I agree. A fair tax, the consumption tax, is the way to go. The question is, and this is not a Republican-Democratic issue, because I think if Democrats and Republicans both look at this They're really not going to find a whole lot of arguments against
it. Well, your buddy Jim Winicky seems to be upset with our tea parties because it's a Republican thing. So evidently he likes the way the taxes are collected.
Well, I'm not going to agree with Jim Winicky or Joe Winicky and the Democrats on every issue.
You know, really? Oh, I'm glad I taped that.
I think one of the biggest things that's important to realize is whatever we do, it needs to be equitable and fair to everyone. Everybody needs to be treated fairly, and that's why I like the consumption-based tax. Those people that can't afford to buy new products can buy used. There's no tax. There's an option for everybody to make it work, and I like that concept. So any type of a process like that would be great for this nation.
And the politicians who love to spend money shouldn't really care because from everything I've read, this would be revenue neutral for the most part.
And not only that, Tom, you might suddenly have people that aren't obligated to the government. That are the entitlements that are getting all of that money, that suddenly they wouldn't have to worry about their gravy train and be forced to vote for people like that.
It would be nice, too, to see Congress on Social Security and not have their own retirement benefits and on the same health care system that most people have to face.
Well, we're dreaming. Let's get to
it. As Ronald Reagan said, everybody loves being on welfare so they can drive their Cadillacs. That's right.
Not anymore.
Well, welfare is just such a great place to be.
Before you throw a blanket statement about that being something that is totally wrong, why don't you look into it and see how much fraud's going on?
Oh, there's no doubt there's fraud going on, but who's throwing the total blanket over things, saying that everybody who's getting help from the government is ripping them off and riding the gravy train?
Well, who did say that?
You just did.
I said that?
We want to get people off the gravy train they're riding with government programs. Like, to make it sound like everybody who's using a government program is ripping us off.
I did not say that, and that's your warped mind again, taking it to the level of the brain that was affected from your days of the 70s.
I see.
Now listen, Tom, what I'm saying is, the fact of the matter is, start getting some personal responsibility. When everybody's paying a consumption tax, everybody has skin in the game. People that are renters, people that are rented to maybe own someday, great. But the people that go into places that don't seem to have that motivation and drive, wouldn't this be a great way to get them motivated and do better? And I never put welfare, gravy train, everything. There are people that need it, Tom, but your government overlooks everything, overlooks the fraud. Man, I tell you what. If you're ever in a bad mood, just wake up and think, I could have the mindset of Tom King, and you're going to feel better.
Now they both are a little red.
Yeah. Mark, good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, guys. First of all, I always enjoy Oliver when he calls in. He's a smart guy, and he always has good questions. Secondly, Dan, I'm practically your neighbor. I'm over here in Junction City. I'm also a small business owner. I have heard you a few times. I watched your debate with Dave Obey. And being on the right side of the spectrum, I do have some constructive criticism. Hopefully you take it constructively.
I'm listening.
All right. Your message is good. However, it's not detailed enough. And I think when you run against a guy like Dave Obey, who's very, very skilled at bringing up detail and knowing how to run a campaign, you need to get a little more detail in some of your points. For example, what would be the first piece of legislation that you would write?
Well, go ahead.
How do you stand on global warming and cap and trade? What would you consider a good energy policy? What specifically do you think is good and bad about health care? You know, attacking the specifics with maybe some numbers and data behind it, and what would I write? What legislation would I co-sponsor? You know, things like that.
And that's good, and I'd really love to get out there and deal with the nitty-gritty of the details, but actually most of the people in the campaign advisories say don't do that at this point in the game because we're a year and a half away, and all you do is you set up for an opportunity for them to nitpick and get you down to the fine details and start to work on that, and you lose the overall theme of what you're trying to do.
Right,
and that's more for towards the end. That's the end run of the game.
I understand that at this point,
I agree with you.
When you're at that last point during the last campaign, which is coming up now, for example, a guy like Craig who called in, I'll guarantee you when he hung up the phone, he was still shaking his head and said, "Oh, he didn't tell me nothing new. I still don't know what he stands for." Yeah. And that's kind of what I mean.
And it's true, but when you look, someone told me the other day on that, and I looked and I said, "Yeah, give me the fine details that Obama did before he got elected. Show me the fine details that he brought out." And somehow he got elected without the fine details. But you're right, we do need to deal with that. Some of those details need to be presented in public prior to that, and some of those need to be orchestrated and worked once you get in office so that you don't have the opposition.
well, one of his details was that he won the campaign on was 95% of people get a tax break, whether you believe it or not.
He was a liar.
That's right.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
but I can't, in my campaign, I don't want to lie.
Well, no, but Mark makes a good point.
Yeah, yep.
Mark makes an excellent point. Plus, you've ticked off everyone that helped get Obama in the newspapers and the electronic media.
Yeah, they're fighting. Yeah, they are definitely not happy.
How do you stand on global warming anyway?
Global warming to me is nothing more than a sales technique to promote a political agenda. Whether global warming exists or doesn't exist is not the matter. We still need to do the right things in regards to where we're at. I personally, myself, I see global warming when they're talking about a minute degree every so many hundreds of years as just, you know, pie in the sky idea of arguing. And so my idea is that we need to work on what's right for this nation in spite of that. If we do what's right for America, we will do what's right for whether there's global warming or there's not global warming. Don't get off track on that. Don't get off on these side issues because all they are is arguments. They're fighting points. And the fact of the matter is we got a problem economically and we got a problem in this nation in regards to our freedoms and our rights. And that's where I want to focus on.
All right. Hey, Mark, thanks for your call. Always good to hear from you. We'll take a quick break. Sue and Bruce, hang on. You guys are up next. The day after the tea parties on 55 Feedback. 55 Feedback continues as Dan Mielke in the studio with us as we're on to 11 talking reaction to the tea parties. And Sue, thanks for holding, Sue.
That's okay, guys. You're worth it. good morning, Pat. Good morning, Tom. And good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
I've been sitting here reading the paper this morning.
Well, what do you think? You were there yesterday.
Well, I was there yesterday, and I am really upset with one of the headlines. I guess I'm kind of concerned because it's so misleading.
What paper?
Our paper.
Okay.
The Wausau Daily Herald. And it says, Madison demonstrators raise hell. Well, they didn't. It's a very misleading headline.
Are they talking about the pastor and his talk?
Yes.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of people don't read the inside of it. They just read the headlines.
Okay.
It's a very misleading headline. Nobody raised hell. And I'd just like all the listeners to know that weren't there. It was one of the most organized meeting of 8,000 people that had the same concerns and feelings. And afterwards, I talked to some of the policemen that were standing around the Capitol, and they said they have never seen anything this big, this orderly, and there was absolutely no problems, and no one raised hell.
And there wasn't litter on the ground afterwards.
No litter, no nasty words.
Can you believe that?
Each other. I mean, it was just it was unbelievable.
Fired up people.
Yes.
Even in Wausau here, there's no litter. I had a box of tracks, and they disappeared.
No, in Wausau, too. Wausau was very, I mean, everybody I thought was very orderly, very nice. And it was nice to be with people that do have the same concerns and can express them.
And have respect for each other.
I was in Madison in the 60s, and I used to go down there and watch the tear gas, you know, fireworks. This rally, to see the policemen, they used to always stand back, and they were all guarded, and they were always nervous. They were in amongst the crowds. They were smiling. They were visiting. They were enjoying the event. They didn't look. There was no stress on their faces. There was no paranoia in their looks.
No,
it was exciting.
Right. You're right, Dan, and I think they actually enjoyed it.
They did.
So anyway, that's all I wanted to
all
say,
right,
guys, but I did want to set that straight when people read this, anybody that's listening to you this morning. No one raised hell. It was very calm, and everyone expressed themselves very nicely.
Excellent. Thank
Take
you,
care,
Sue.
Guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, 845-2155. Bruce, good morning.
Yes, Pat, thanks for taking my call, and you guys did a really good job yesterday.
Were you down there?
No, I didn't make it down there. I had a lot of stuff going on yesterday, but I was at the rally last night, and it was excellent.
You should have come up and did you say hi to me?
No, I didn't. You were surrounded by people. You were like a honorary president or something there. Sure. But it was an excellent program, and I got a chance to talk to Dan, too, and he's also excellent. And also, I want to comment on something else, too. Yesterday, Pat did the program, and he did an absolutely excellent job on
Tom,
that.
Tom, you mean?
Yes, Tom.
Right.
Yeah, he did a super job. So,
good.
You know, he does get criticism, but, boy, he did an excellent job on your program.
All right.
You know, and another thing, Pat, when you guys go to these events, you know, you and Tom are like representatives or emissaries for your company.
Yes.
Well, what you should do is wear like a jacket or a hat, you know, with 550.
I do have a name tag. I was wearing a name tag.
Yeah,
you probably didn't see it.
I noticed that. And, you know, you guys, really represent the company. And
Tom's afraid of wearing his name.
Oh, I would not. I would not be afraid of it at all. You know.
I know.
Yeah, I mean,
we go out to public events and people come up and we have our name tags on, but sometimes they'll still ask, which one are you? And we always say it depends.
Sure. But you guys did a super job. But one of the things I want to mention to Dan is last night on the George Norrie program, Dan, they had this fellow, I can't remember his name, but he was talking about this flat tax. And he was saying the people who are really fighting this flat tax are these global elitists.
You bet.
And the super wealthied interests in this country. He said the people that have inherited money through hundreds of years, he said these are the people that absolutely do not want this to go through.
Well, there's a broad cross-section that don't want it to go through. Nobody wants to give up power.
Yes.
The present tax system is a power-oriented tax system where those in power can virtually do whatever they so please. And that's the problem. And with a flat tax or a fair tax, that shuts that door. And that's what we're looking at. You know, earlier we talked about this global warming. You know, they distract you on that. The fact of the matter is cap and trade is nothing more than another method of taxing the daylights out of people and using fear tactics to get that tax through. And if we just start getting back to the Constitution and get back to the principles that guide how legislation should take place, all those taxes would be done away with because they're not equitable, they're not fair,
yeah.
They do not treat the public reasonably, and they're prejudicial.
No, you're absolutely right. It's just, I can't believe people can't see this.
Yeah.
I mean, this is so logical, it's pathetic. And then one last thing I want to comment on, Dan, is I was in food manufacturing and engineering for quite a few years, and we worked on some really dangerous, complicated equipment, and if you were hurt, you could either pay with your life or be horribly maimed. Also, if we generated a defective product for public consumption, that we were a small enough company to where you could be put out of business, like, instantly. So what we ended up doing was having urine tests done once a year, randomly, throughout the year. And if you failed the test, you had one more chance to clean up your act. And if you didn't do that, and you were tested again and you were found guilty, you lost your job. Or if you had an accident and you were found to have these type of drugs in your system, you lost your job.
Okay.
Now, the thing I'm getting at, here you've got a group of people running the most powerful corporation in the world. I was in a small corporation, this giant corporation called the U.S. government, who are making decisions over life and death, economic destinies of people, and the entire country, and basically of the world. And I wonder how many of these people would pass a urine test.
Oh, that's a good point.
Good question,
good,
Bruce.
Good point.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not saying be some sort of a fascist state or socialist state where you got everybody totally controlled, but I would like to have somebody in there that's got a clear mind.
Yeah.
That doesn't have a foggy brain. And, you know, I've met, Pat, you must have met people like this. I mean, I'm older than you are. But imagine driving a high-performance motorcycle down the highway, and you're 10 feet behind the motorcycle with a periscope trying to run the thing down the highway. And these are the way a lot of these people are that have been on drugs for years,
Bruce,
that I've
Bruce,
known.
Bruce, do you have some indication that the government is full of drug users that are so spaced out that they don't know what's going on, despite what that minister said about Doyle smoking crack or whatever?
Oh,
he was doing.
I didn't hear about that.
Barney Frank seems a little strange.
No, but here's what I'm going by. My son-in-law is a doctor down in the Milwaukee area, and I was alarmed with what he told me of the number of people that they get in there that are on drugs. And I thought it would be like 10 or 15%. And here it's like about 63 or 64% of everybody that walks through the door is on some sort of a mind-altering drug. And I was wondering, if it's at that level, which is at the middle class, is it the same percentage in the upper income class or the supposedly the elitists of our country?
That's a good point. I think there should be random drug testing for all government employees. Tom,
yeah,
your thoughts.
I'm not saying, Pat, that, you know, everybody's on drugs or anything like that.
No, but if they're not, I mean, you're right. They're taking taxpayer money.
You bet.
For their, I mean, talking school, I'm talking everything. Random drug tests.
As long as we don't increase taxes to do it.
Yeah, there's how they get around it, Bruce.
You're just giving them another angle.
Yes, we'd have a urine czar.
Are we going to check for the three glasses of scotch or the three martinis that someone has before they go back to work after lunch?
It is so frustrating when you see one business being taxed to death, and then that business's taxes are going to help another business. And that's what we're seeing all the way across this nation right now is they're treating us like cattle. They're directing us down these little trails they want us to go through the taxation system.
Yeah, you know what I call it? I have
stupidity.
Yeah, well, it's stupidity, but I have another word for it. It's like a viral infection that's throughout the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And my son-in-law, who's a doctor, coined this saying. He said it's cranial rectal inversion.
All right. Hey, Bruce, thank you.
He wanted to get that out.
Yes, he did. All right, we got a news break coming up, but then we have another hour of more reaction from the tea parties from across the nation, some of the coverage. They want you, many, to think it was a flash in the pan, but folks, the revolution has to begin.